They do indeed, because they know that you're the guy. Right. So we are live on YouTube tonight. We are live again. I messed up beginning of the week, so we didn't get to do a podcast on Monday with John from Artisan, but we are doing that on Sunday.
John from Faultless.
Okay. John from Faultless is going to be on Sunday now, and but today we just thought we'd do one because why not? So,
What a
Jamie.
week. What a week, innit? I got news and everything.
Jamie,
Yes.
sponsor?
Well, you're the driver, I'm simply the passenger. So you do it. Who's going
So,
first? Who's going first?
I do a Verso. So, Verso
Whoa.
products, the best pound for pound fuse boards and socket switches and spurs, I would say, in the game at the moment. Pound for pound, they are the best. I've like been on the tools now, going back out as a all by myself. House bashing. I've really got to use Verso, and I've really got to use a few of the others. I really like the Click Skullmore stuff, but pound for pound, Verso is right up there. So go and check them out at electricianspod.shop, where we sell them exclusively. We only sell the best stuff on there, and that is Verso.
That's an exclusive. Martin,
Go
isn't it? Right then, a bit more set by tonight. My side of the podcast is sponsored by Chevron, who make fantastic test gear. In fact, I thought showing some of it off in my new set. However, when measuring up, I've got the sizes wrong and you can't actually see it. But if you want to measure anything, test anything, volts, amps, power quality analyzing, voltages, what's the other thing they do? Pels, power energy logging, give them a shout. They're really, really good. They're very supportive of this show and myself and loads of other people on the Instagram, social media, in that space. And they are well worth checking out. And I promise to you is, if you do not receive the service I receive, I will bollock them, which I have not had to do. And also, they've paid for my lovely new office where I now host this podcast from, so we can make improvements to it for you and all that. So thank you very much for that. But yeah, give them a bash. They are very, very good.
without further ado, should we get on with the show tonight? Tonight we are talking
That's
about.
the wrong one. I've just put up a picture of John from Faultless because I've done the graphics for a show that we're not doing. There's
We are talking
the
about news, first of all. First of all, we're going to do the
news,
news, and then we're going to talk about how Jamie got sacked from his job, but he's lying that he didn't.
VT. How do you know?
It's obvious,
Have you had enough
Jamie.
of the news, VT, to satisfy your news, VT charmings yet?
Go on.
You're going to have to leave that there and film because I just need to open up YouTube because I've
So
not
I
opened.
also, because I am now a house basher, I picked up a copy of this, Professional Electrician Installer, and I thought we might go through it and take it apart, how that every single bit, apart from editor's viewpoint, is actually an info, what do they call it, an
Just refresh that because
advertorial.
I was so I want to interact with the chat so much. I was opening the chat and I didn't hear a fucking word you said. So sorry, viewers. Can you just refresh that for me, please, Sam? That'd be great.
No, I picked up a professional
Oh,
electrician.
I remember those. Is that a magazine?
It's a magazine, and I thought I'd pick it up, and we can have a little talk about the contents if we run dry.
If we run dry, which every week is an ongoing battle not to. Right, I am ready.
I didn't hear a fucking word you said. Go on then. So go on. What's the news today, Bellend boy?
I don't know, I'm just looking who's in the chat. Welcome everyone in the chat. There's quite a large amount of people in there to say we're 5 days late. Thanks for
5 days
turning
late and on a Friday. Have you lot got nothing better to do than listen to us fat idiots talking about the electrical industry on a Friday?
First of all, I'm not fat. And also, we did say we're a bit ad hoc and we utilised
Yeah, but you're
that ad
skinny fat.
hocness.
You've got no definition.
I'm
You've
straight
got
up
no
fat.
muscle mass.
I'm quite thin, but I'm fat inside. I think there's a name for it, fat inside. So
No,
yeah, I'm that.
you're skinny fat. You're like a doughy oblong.
Don't look like a fat mess like you, but inside my body's still dying. Is that what you're trying to say?
I bet you, I probably look better without my top on than you do.
I don't. I'm just going to say yes, so I don't have to do it because
Right,
it's not what audio viewers want. Anyhow, let's get off this fucking tripe and get feedback on audio is welcome in the chat as well, please. Thank you. Number one, Hinkley C nuclear power station price tag could rocket by a third. Is anyone that surprised, really?
It was always on the cards. I'm glad they're building another nuclear power plant. It's needed in the country. Anyone who thinks we don't need nuclear because we've got solar and all that, all the figures they're giving out about solar is a lie. All the figures they're giving out about the wind power and all this offshore shit, that's all a lie. And the fact is that those offshore wind farms, they are paid not to produce electricity during the night time.
You know, as we're going to cover that, I've now left my previous job. I could talk a bit more freely about the energy infrastructure now, which I'm going to do. Not in this case, but we want to in the future. But yeah, the problem, I agree with you. Nuclear power stations are great because they provide a base load. You can't ramp a nuclear power station up and down. If it's a 20 megawatt plant, it's probably producing 20 megawatts. It doesn't go up and down.
Yeah, but same for wind farms. If they're producing wind all night long, it's still the same. So they have to pay them not to connect to the grid.
It's mad, and we can cover it a bit more, like the things. But a nuclear power station is either on or off. That's simple fact. So they're great for base load, which means you can free up gas power stations to provide the little bit where it's going up and down. Solar and that's got its place.
Do you know how they used to balance a grid time?
Of course I do, but I'm going to let you tell me.
Dam power.
You're on about Electric Man, aren't you? De Norwig in Wales.
So what they used to do is, like, there used to be this myth that, well, it wasn't a myth, it was a fact that, like, at 7:30 when EastEnders or Coronation Street ended on, like, a Monday night, everyone got up to, or in the adverts, got up to put the kettle on. So the whole of the country at the time, because everyone would watch the same thing, would get up, put the kettle on, and then it would cause a massive, like, draw on the grid. Well, they used to prep for that, they used to use the energy produced by water. So they used to release that energy at that time to balance the grid.
Do you know what? You know, every single thing you've just said is absolutely true.
I know.
So what they do is, because De Norwig in Wales is a pumped hydro storage, they would use the nuclear energy, because you can't turn it down, to pump water up a mountain to a lake.
Yeah.
And then during that ad break, they'd let it through some valves. What thing was invented for that? Here's one for you. Do you know what TV item was invented for that very reason?
News at 10?
You know, in the corner, you used to get the little flashing black and white box.
Yeah.
That is so the bloke in the Norwich Power Station can press that button to satisfy a demand during the outbreak.
Wow,
That is to inform the grid controllers when the advert's going to go live in things where they're not always continuous. But yeah, the problem with nuclear is we pretty much invented it. We've got a fucking absolute mess of Sellafield where we developed it, because obviously when you develop nuclear, it's going to make a mess. It's costing billions to get rid of it. And we actually cracked it and made British nuclear fuels, which could make energy. So you know what we did with it? We sold it to the French. And now we're having to buy that expertise back. The problem we're so shit at in big national infrastructure projects is because we don't do them often enough. And then when we do them, we don't know what we're doing. We get them wrong and they cost a fortune.
Nick Pearson's come out saying good in the chat. He's saying the health and safety always ruin the budgets on big jobs, such as Hinkley. Is health and safety gone mad? And he ain't wrong.
He's not wrong. Again, are we going to disagree in this thing? I know there for a fact, like, you're lucky if you get 3 hours worked on a day, like what we
do. 100%, yeah.
Because you've got to get there, get in, get through all the health and safety, do all your shit, and you're lucky if you get a fucking hour's work done, to be honest. So, yeah.
It's like back in the day on the underground. So it used to be engineering hours on the underground, so like 5 hours.
Yeah.
So everyone wanted to get on the underground back in the day because
it's a
literally
DOS.
You'd get the most money. So you get engineering hours, and engineering hours was always good money. It was like 400 quid a shift. And by the time you got through the health and safety check, done all your checks, got your stuff, set up your barrier, you put up one bit of conduit, and then you start packing down and then getting all ready to leave that night. In fact, if you put up too much conduit, they'd tell you to take it down.
I think we need... I'll tell you what, we'll do an old podcast on that because it's a really interesting topic. Is health and safety too vicious? That's coming. Anyway, Inky Port's going to cost double. So enjoy paying taxpayers' money to a foreign investor to build that. Number two.
Oh, this is interesting because I am front and centre at the moment. I've got another... Off the back of the EV charger I installed the other day, literally today, I've had to go and quote another one.
Are you going to do the EV charging course?
No.
I was discussing this with Craig Bewis and some of the...
Don't need to now.
You don't need to.
You don't need to now, do you?
Well, it'd just be dangerous to qualify for your job, no one cares.
Mate, it's a posh socket.
Correct. Now, I would agree with you totally on that. However, this particular one, the 2921, is the commercial one. You know, for like the big Tesla parks you see.
That's different.
It is different. It's a 4-day course run by Sitting Guilds called 29 the 2921, I keep wanting to say 2391 or something there. I think it's got legs as a course. This is not an advertisement, but if you were into designing that, you'd think that'd be a good course, wouldn't you? There's going to be loads of these supercharged all over the country, wouldn't you? So I bet that course is selling like hotcakes.
So I've got a controversial opinion on electric vehicles. I thought that they were definitely going to be the future. I now understand from doing a little bit of research, it's cracked up to be.
I think what people, when petrol come along, that worked, and diesel, I think people need to realise there's going to be a mixture, and electric vehicles.
Ammonia engines.
Oh my God, what have you been reading on the internet now?
Ammonia engines? That's something that, because Toyota have pulled out of EVs, haven't they? Toyota are not playing with EVs.
So they're going down.
And you've got to think how big Toyota is compared to the other car manufacturers. There's like, Toyota are so big compared to the other car manufacturers that the other car manufacturers have had to join together to make like a group, the VAG group and stuff like that.
The VAG group?
Yeah. I think it is the VAG group. And they are going a different route. They're going down, but they've tried hydrogen. It's not been as successful because it's not had the money ploughed into it and the brain power like Elon Musk could bring to it. But they're also looking at ammonia engines now and ammonia-powered electric engines and stuff like that. So there's a whole nother network of stuff going on. I don't believe that we're going to have these superchargers everywhere and every car in the UK is going to be running off of electric cars.
Even without doing the maths, it's not physically possible. There's a guy the other day in a service on the A1 where there's about 5 superchargers and he was videoing it saying, this is costing me more per mile than petrol or diesel. Because there's not enough.
Mark can tell you.
There's not enough of them. They require planning permission. They take up a lot of space and all that. But what I was particularly interested to find out with this one is this 2921, which is the commercial grade one, not the arse bashing one. Is as far as I'm aware, I stand to be correct on this, and I'm actually asking because I want to find out. There is one training provider in the country delivering that course, and it's like,
really?
Yeah, it's Spark and Injures crew. Spark and Injures delivering that, yeah. Although he's not a massive fan of the show, we will say he's delivering it. I'll advertise for him. He delivers that. I think he delivers that every 4 months for 10 people, which is like, how many more designers do you need if you're going to unleash a supercharger network across the whole UK?
I don't think they're going to. I don't think it's a viable. I don't think it's viable yet. And these companies that run in these electric chargers, different electric charger points in the UK, they're just ramping up the money. And like you say, some of these charging networks are more expensive to fill up than diesel. And all that's going to happen is a diesel there's a diesel, it's a Cummins motor, Cummins drivetrain that has been, it's not even that new. It might be 5-6 years old in the US, and that produces zero carbon emissions. And it's a diesel drivetrain.
What the reason I put this in was because when I found out that just one training provider was delivering it, and this is a course need for supercharging, obviously you don't need as many people to do the design of it, but 10 people every 4 months getting trained on doing these, and there's going to need to be thousands across the country. I just thought it's quite interesting that that's there. And also, if anyone fancies doing that, might be a good little street.
Yeah, but how hard is it to become like certified to be able to give that course? I can't imagine it's that hard. And I can't imagine it's going to be that popular.
It's not, but I just thought it was interesting because I want to do it.
The only reason that the EV installation course was popular is because you needed it to be able to get the grant for your customer.
I think that's why
people did it. But why would you do it if you don't have to now? Like, you don't have to do it. And what's complicated about it? Go and work with someone for the day to do it.
No, we're talking design of huge...
I'd
like to do that course. I might do it. Obviously, I think we've both had us run-ins with Spark and Injury, but I assure you that course will be well delivered because he knows what he's on about. So there's no...
He won't let you on there.
I know he probably won't, but what I'm saying is I would like to do it and I think it'd be well delivered.
Listen, fair play to him. He's obviously seen this coming down the line and gone, yeah, I'm going to be front and centre on that. It's a good business move. Fair play.
Yeah. And I think he's the only person delivering it. So wait to find out on that. Obviously, we won't be shouting those other people out, but I'm sure, like I say, that's probably... I would really enjoy doing that course. I think it'd throw up some interesting design things for a designer. But yeah, if anyone knows anything else about that commercial stuff, great stuff, or anyone's doing
it's probably,
it,
like, let us know. Knowing that, like, it's probably a course all about how if you don't do this, you'll end up in prison or someone will die or some nonsense like that. Like, Stop.
Right, we'll move on, but I'm sure that will be well delivered, of course. This one is particularly interesting. I'm not trying to hammer anyone here, right? This is, and I've lost the bum for it, but Electrical Safety First, it's actually in the group chat. They've noticed some big issues in the industry and that we're short of staff and all that kind of stuff, and there's not enough people, not enough apprenticeships, not enough people to fit all the CV shit, yeah? And they're going to do a show on it. But what I'm just want to get across is, yeah, it's at Savoy Place in London in April. You can book now. Who's going to go to that? What people that have the hands on the industry floor are going to actually attend that? I'm not knocking it. I'm saying, are you going to go?
It might be good for us to go. It could be something for us to go to, but I'm different and you're different. What I'm saying is, I don't understand what that's going to achieve. Is that just a big virtual signaling thing? We did it first. We did it. We knew about this ages ago. We had our fingers on the pulse because I know the geezer who runs all that, and it's just going to be like a massive virtual signaling display of nonsense.
Let me read it out to you if I could actually make the text bigger on the screen. Yeah, I'm going to put my mic over it. It's on the thing. It says, an event for the electrical industry focused on the skills, safety and solutions for the UK's evolving electrical installations will be at the ITV London Savoy Place. Yeah, so basically, if you wear overalls or boots, don't go because it's too posh for you. And they're going to go over it. Or I'll put the details in the chat, but when they're going to speak to Grassroots Sparks about the industry problems, because by the time the Grassroots Sparks opinion gets through to Savoy Place, it's watered down and full of crap.
Yeah, but they're not going to do anything about it. It's Electrical Safety First. It's like a... It's just like a boys' club.
It's a quango.
Yeah, it's a boys' club. It ain't going to do nothing. That, like, no one, listen, the country's got bigger issues than electricians. What are you talking about? Who cares? I barely care.
I'll put the stuff in the chat about it, yeah, but what I'm saying is, when we're talking about industry, I think the majority of the time they should be talking to actual real working sparks and maybe site managers, not people who get it through like six people and it's all sugarcoat and everything's great.
That's the other thing that seminar is as pointless as Safe for September.
Safe for September's not pointless.
It's so pointless. How many electricians die from electrocution on LV systems a year? Electricians die from not safely isolating. Fucking not many. And those
Everyone,
that do, who cares?
You know, if you get electrocuted and die, I'll fucking laugh my tits from this podcast.
Get electrocuted once a week. I don't care.
Especially if it's September.
Tell the truth though. What? How many electricians die from low voltage electrocution a year?
I would imagine a few.
That's a pure accident. No, that die from not safely isolating. Not an accident. Not nothing like that. Someone who dies from not safely isolating.
13
I would say
a year.
None.
13, according to Mark Allison, who's a thing over the. But the problem is.
No. That's how many people die of electrocution a year. I'm talking about how many electricians who didn't safely isolate die a year.
You're such a middle-aged spark who thinks he knows everything. It's aimed at young people to drill it into them, because young people, as you remember, think they're great and invincible. Because they think they're invincible.
But they're not going to die from it.
You're a bumhole.
How many electric shocks have you had from LV? Be honest.
Lots.
Are you dead?
Some of them, they varied from all that's hurting me and to blow me across the wall. So, yeah, I'm lucky, to be honest. I've had a couple that I was lucky about. And I'm sure everyone...
Are you dead? Yes or no?
It's a pyramid, though, isn't it? Everyone in the chat's going to say the same thing. Yeah, I've had some fucking tingles. You know who's not going to say I've had some fucking tingles? The dead people, because they're not in the chat, are they? Because they're dead.
Because there ain't none.
Because they're dead.
No one died from not safely isolating.
Right, this news is over. I'm vetoing this news now because you're chatting pure crap. Always safely isolate, kids. Safe September is very,
13
very
electricians
important.
On LV. But is that LV from not directly isolating or cutting through a circuit that you had no business cutting through? That's what I'm saying.
Weird one. It's just
nonsense.
Why don't we go to HV? Someone died on the site. Someone died on one
HV
of my...
HV is a different ball game.
Exactly.
If you're taking the same attitude to HV, you're going to die.
Oh, well, I'm glad we've got some common ground. Thank you very much. I don't know. We had an LV death on one of the sites that I was working for. It weren't the company I worked for. Some local gardener. Sounds like a helicopter's about to fly into my building. I hope it's not. I hope you all can hear that. Some local gardener next to one of our sites was strimming around a HV transformer pole. But you know, on the strimmer, you know, you get the metal blades because that bit of plastic's too safe.
Yeah.
You get the metal blades on. Apparently, went up to the pole, chopped through the metal cap and straight through the LV cable and killed him. Like, bonkers or what?
That's just one of them things, though, isn't it? The procedures to stop him from dying have already been put in place, haven't they?
Yeah, but don't use strimmers near HV poles. That's my plan. Anyway, move this news on. It's boring now. And also, I think a helicopter is about to crash into the building in all the air ambulance.
Oh, I hope so. I hope so. I hope
it would make good audio.
I hope you get 9/11. I really do.
Anyway, should we explain to the viewers what's actually going off?
Yeah, right. So
it's still business month.
The whole idea of this month was to talk about business because myself, I've transitioned to not being a subby anymore. I'm a domestic house basher now. And Jamie too has decided that he no longer wanted to be a PAYE slave and wanted to jump on to doing the self-employed route. However, it was not a choice for Jamie. He got sacked and we're here to talk about it.
Also, I don't know why I sound like an echo there. John from Faultless, me and Sam said we never advertised on the show, yeah, but we was really looking forward to having John on, and we thought it was a nice way to wrap up the month, yeah. So we said John's coming on, and then he weren't on because we chinned it off. So yeah, John's on Sunday. The podcast is going ahead on Sunday as normal.
Tell the truth though, Jamie. Let's not swerve this a minute.
What?
You've either asked to leave.
Someone's at the door, mate. One sec, I'll be back in a minute.
Why is there someone at the door?
Not really. I'm trying to put you on.
You've either asked to leave. Or you got fired. Tell the truth.
The truth is, since I was 16, which is 1997, this is the second job I've worked my notice on. And I've had
I think there was something else jobs. To it. Because all of a sudden he's like, it's the best thing ever. Go and get on the cards. When he first joined this show, hey, come and get on the cards. It's the best thing ever. I'll get this, I'll get that, I'll get this.
Now then. All right, let's talk about that. So before I was on this podcast, I was a viewer of this podcast, yeah? And I remember you getting a job in hospital and doing exactly the same thing.
I did, until I actually started getting my paycheck.
Right. There's so many aspects to this, isn't there? There's the money. So, like, and I've said this over and over again to the blue in the face, yeah? Why has the upper tax bracket not increased in line with inflation? Why is the 50 grand tax bracket for super tax the same as it was 15 years ago? So, first of all, that makes, as you know, it makes being a high earner hard brutal. Work. Brutal, yeah? But the job I did for the money I was on for my salary was fine. I didn't have a problem with it. It's just that when you do start getting over that number, it does become soul-destroying. But that's something I learned to handle a bit, PAYE-wise. But I'm sure we're not the only people who feel like that. But once you get to 50 grand, you're getting half... Is it 50 grand? Is it more now? You're getting half your wages taken off you. Yeah? It's a bit soul-destroying, isn't it?
Well, it's not just that. I'm not very good at being a employee. And I can't imagine you are.
Funnily enough, for the right kind of people, I clearly am. Because for the first 18 months of where I was working, which was a place called Conrad Energy, I can tell you now, it was brilliant. I loved it. I worked for a really good electrical engineer who knew his stuff, loads of good lads and ladies and stuff like that. And I thoroughly enjoyed working there. It's just that I don't like getting my feet under the table a lot. My microphone's falling over. There's so many different aspects to it, but I don't.
So let's start from the beginning, right?
Yeah, you do.
When did you decide that you wanted to make the jump?
Not to be honest now, someone from work might watch this, so I'll be getting some calls Monday morning. I did a job on one of our sites, right? This is the genuine truth, right? I'll try and get this right. We had a burnt-out fuse on one of our sites, right? Quite a big three-phase job. Now, you can watch exactly what happened because Corey did a video on it. You know, Corey, you might have seen him. He's getting quite big on YouTube. He did a video on this particular job, and I'm in it. So it's on his channel. I'll put the link in the thing, yeah? But the reason that came about is because Corey is on our books as an engineer, as an electrical contractor, yeah? And I went to this job initially, and the fuse had burnt out. But the fuses, it was one set of three-phase fuses that fed three things. One big thing and two little things. And I was like, well, they'd rammed all the cables in the top and it burnt out. And I was like, that's no good. We want to get that fixed. It'll just cause more problems. So I spoke to them and said, oh, I need to design it and get it through the engineering group and all that. Because sometimes in corporate, unlike the world as before, things are quite a slow process, yeah? So I did all the design. Worked out that I needed a big set of pull fuses and some little fuses and did it all, got it all together, yeah? And I needed to get some parts, but ordering at my old place was like pulling teeth, and it really got me down. It was like the worst bit about it. So it's easy just sometimes to get a contractor in. And we got Corin to do the job. And obviously I know what the price are, and I know that what I wanted to buy so I could do the job, we paid four times the amount to get a contractor to do it. And at that point, I sat there and thought, if we fucking pay contractors four times the price, I'll go and be a contractor. Not for the firm I work for, I'll just go and do contracting again. That didn't tip me over the edge, but it got me all wound up about it, if you know what I mean.
So obviously that was the first point in which you was like, okay, what was your tipping point? At what point was you like, right, I'm definitely doing this now? Because I can see there's money to be made. I thought I wanted a job where it was just treading water. But
that
actually,
that first instinct get my back up, I thought it reminded me of that I was a contractor. And also, the bonus of being a contractor is you get there and everything's in shit. It's fast pace, fast turnaround for fast reward. And I like that speed. Yeah, although I'd learned to kick back a bit and be the employee's engineer, I missed that. The other thing about it was I was covering national. So as far up as a place called Lillial near Sellafield and right down to Portsmouth, although I'd move around in the Midlands a lot. And what did you ask me? I've lost my train of thought. Yeah, yeah. So there was a lot of ad hoc hours. So to drive to, I don't know, Blackpool could take 3 hours. You could be there for 3 hours and get back in at 6 o'clock at night and don't see the kids. Now, at first, this was cool because we did toil. So often, I'd get that much toil, I could have Friday off, which was great.
And toil?
Time off in lieu. So you do 2 hours extra in a night, you take it back. So if you did 2 hours extra every night, you could have the whole of Friday off.
Yeah.
Fine. Although, getting in late at night can become a bit of a grind because you're missing your kids every night and stuff like that. So I started having Fridays off. Then I got moved to a manager. I'm not going to talk about that much, but he started trying to change how that worked. And I had like 8 hours of toil. And I remember sending an email saying, I'm off on Friday because I've got some toil I need to use up before the end of the month. And he sent me some snotty email or something like, oh, you can only have toil when I say you can. And I remember reading this email driving. I was driving past Sherwood Forest. And I read this email and thought, that's not what toil is. Time off and lose, like, I've worked Monday to Friday late, Monday to Thursday night, I want Friday off. And I wouldn't go, if there was something critical on the Friday, I can handle that. I know when I need to be busy. But I think he was just exercising his boot. You know what I mean? Just showing me how belly big balls he was. So I pulled over into the next lay-by I passed and typed my notes out and sent it to him. And that's it. That was it.
So what, like, so obviously you always bang on about specialising. So can you be specific about what you're going to specialise in?
Your mum.
You like that? About old ladies.
I don't know what I'm doing, mate. I've got this big fucking office. I've got my desk set up. I've got my van ready. I've got my tools. I ain't got any work yet. I don't know what I'm doing, but I didn't think that far ahead. Who knows what's going to come up?
So you're going into this with no plan whatsoever.
You know when ovals, I know the other day speaking about process and how they're really important. I've done all that bit. I just need to get some work. But I'm not bothered. One thing I said I'd do right is I have to get out my ass. So this office I've got now, which is great. I've got the workshop sorted next week. I've got all that admin back room stuff to do. Yeah, I've got to sort my van out a bit more. Then I've got a couple of bits of software I really want to get into. And because I've been employed and I've been getting home late and I've been in hotels and got it, I've got my desk set up behind there in the other office. I've got three monitors. I've got a kettle. Next week, I'm just going to turn the computer on and spend 3 or 4 hours a day just getting my head around those bits of software.
Like, so what is that? So what those softwares do? Is it
cable? I'm going to get myself... I've got AutoCAD. I've been a long-time user of AutoCAD. I'm going to get myself back into it. I've got a bit rust there. So I'm gonna up the game on the AutoCAD, on any CAD software will do. And I've got a cable calculation bit of software I want to learn to use and a design bit of software I want to learn how to use. And
is that electrical OM?
It is electrical OM. But
have you spoken to Stuart? Is it Stuart?
I haven't done anything. I've paid for it. I've paid for a copy. I've got the copy. I've been sat in it for 3 months. I need to do the online training. So I'm just going to dedicate a bit of time to doing that. I'll probably get a few little bits and bobs come through. I can sustain myself for a few months like this. But I'm not like, I need a job, you know what I mean? I can't keep fucking sitting here talking to you every night. But that, I don't, Not everything's got to be hard and fast, is it? You know, these people go, oh, you've got a plan and you've got to get your stuff done and all that. If you fucking plan for everything, which I'm a big fan of planning, you'd never get fuck all done sometimes. I just have to go, right, fuck it, I'm going. So, like, see, I put my notice in that day. It was like, when I left work that morning, I'd not indicate to my wife that there's going to be any shenanigans involving my notice. And when I walked in, I went, I've got something to tell you. And she went, you put your notice in, didn't you? I was like, yeah, have you? She knows me quite well. And he's just like, bang, snap. That was it. There was no premeditated. I got the wobble about this contracting bit. And it made me think about contracts again. But remember, I work on the side. I do contracts on the side. I've had quite a bit of time off, use my holidays to work on the side. But that, the way I was spoken to like that just did me. I was like, I'm not being spoken to like that.
Do you know what's funny? I've got a bit of I can identify with that, because when I was working for people, that's what tipped me over the edge. Is even though I was a self-employed subby, I was still spoken to like a prick so often that in the end I was just like, I can't handle it anymore. I just don't have I don't have it in me to handle it anymore. I can't be bothered. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want other people's problems in my life. And I just started reaching out on Facebook, finding jobs that way. Yeah. And then before I knew it, I had 3 or 4 jobs come up that I had to do in a week. And bam, I said to my wife, I was like, oh, there's no going back for me now. She's like, what are we going to do? I was like, you best get on Facebook and find me some more work, because I ain't going back.
What I've got to say is that person who did that is the only person at work that I didn't really get along with. Everyone else I've worked with, I've got to say this, it's been really good. I've really enjoyed working for the company. I've met some really great people and I've had a good time there. But that person at the time was my direct manager, and I can't be dealing with that. I can't. It stresses me out thinking someone's going to speak to me like that, because it stresses me out what I might do about it. So putting my notice in was a nice, clean way to put my foot down and say, I'm not going to stand for that shit. Because back in the day, the other option was you drive the van through the window and beat the fuck out of it at the desk. But I'm getting a bit old for that shenanigans now. So I just want to say that, like, the firm was working forward great. It's just that once I start getting spoke to like that, I'm like, this is just a downhill spiral now. Probably me doing something stupid that I would get sacked for, instead of me just going, oh, you know what? I'll be the bigger guy and just jack. So yeah, it's...
Yeah, I think once you've made that decision and you're really sick to death of that sort of grind, there's the transition over to working for yourself. It's like sometimes you just can't believe how happy you are working for yourself. Like, you're on your own timeline, you're doing your own shit, you're like, everything is yours, and you don't have to deal with no one else's bullshit.
No,
it's so lovely.
Except for customers. I mean, I've been on 3 month notice. I think we're doing it on in October, and somewhere in October put it in. So I've gone there, done the work, I kind of grafted to my last day. I've enjoyed working for him, and it's the second time I've ever completed a notice period in my life. Every other time, in honesty, I've pretty much been sacked from every job I've ever had. Sometimes because they didn't like me, but other times because I've got people to sack me because I don't want to work my notice period. So there is a bit of that going off as well. But this time, did 3 months.
There's one overriding thing for me that's been really hard switching over to working for myself, and that's quoting. Like, honestly, that is so hard, quoting and getting it right. Like, this week, I quoted to add 4 sockets, 2 light fittings, and a fuse board in a flat. And I quoted £1,000.
Where'd you get that figure from? Did you throw it at a dartboard or something?
So, I weren't really thinking when I'd done it. So, I literally looked at the fuse board and thought, all right, £600, do that. And then it's going to take me a day to do the other bits and pieces.
Yeah.
And then it probably costed like 100 quid in stuff. So, 320, 425 to do the stuff in the room, and £600 for the fuse board.
The problem with quoting is you will never learn it, yeah? I could do a YouTube video on it and tell people how I do it. That won't work for a lot of people. And don't get me wrong, I throw out instinctive quotes because that's what being a skilled person is. But when you're leaving somewhere, going on your own, you don't know everything. Like, and I've been doing a blog on YouTube, which I fucking hate doing, to be honest. But I put something up about business on Instagram, right? Someone's like, oh, what about this? And I'm getting bombarded with fucking questions, which is why we've done Business Month, why I'm doing a blog. People just don't know. And some people just want someone to go, you know what? I'm not that good at quoting either. And they go, oh, that's all right then, because I'm not. So you can go on your own. It's not a blockage to you going. if you can't get out of bed in the morning, that might be. But there's so many things about business that everyone's a bit shit at.
Mate, you can't be good at everything. Can't even be okay at everything. So I went in there and I was like, oh fuck, I've really fucked up here. And I thought it was going to take me at least 3 days to do it. I thought I was going to be doing a lot of chasing. So I went straight out and I bought a chasing tool. Yeah. Now I'm making no money. No money.
That is self-employed. I've done that. I've gone on jobs and thought, fuck, I need a core bit, a set of core bits. And you think, well, I've got to buy them. I've done the job for free, but I've got a set of core bits now. The next time I use my make money. And when you go out on your own, what I've got to reiterate is this isn't my first time round. All the shit that's in this office, I already owned it. For you, you're buying stuff you never used, did you? Like, if you had to fit in a fan tomorrow, you might have to go and buy a set of core bits. But every bit you drill out of that is a freebie, isn't it? And that's what setting yourself up is.
Yeah. So I spent £300 on these chasers and stuff. And then I got in there. I walked in and there's two old people in there. And I was like, oh, hello, morning, blah, blah, blah. I looked around and my ass fell out. And I started having a bit of a wobble. And I was like, oh, I just got a nip to the wholesalers. And I went back out and I went and sat in my car. And I phoned three or four people. And I was like, what the fuck do I do? And like some people said, just fucking tell them you've underquoted and you're not doing it.
What was wrong? I missed something. What was wrong? What was the problem? You just don't think you'd have enough money in for it?
No. Well, by the time I'd bought the fuse board, the wall chaser and the Hoover to go with it, and all the other bits and pieces, most of my profit was gone.
Yeah, but you've gained assets. You've gained assets though. That's a
no, not really. Thing. Not really. Not yeah, but I don't fucking want the chaser. Do you know what I mean? I need the money.
What about next week when you chase a wall out and it costs you
nothing?
I'll
buy it next week. Yeah, I'll add it to the quote next week.
I know what you're saying, but you can't, you're going to have to acquire assets. You're going to have a garage full of electrical shit. That's just how it all works. You're getting bigger now, doing more work.
That's fine. Listen, I've got a load of shit, but the wall chaser, I don't quite need yet, right? I don't need it yet unless I'm doing rewires and I'm trying to stay away from rewires.
Yeah, fair one.
Because I think they're just, unless you are set up just to do rewires, I think you better off swerving them because there's so much shit that can go wrong with them. They're too stressful. Mm. Anyway, so I'm doing this thing and I got so lucky because one of the sockets they wanted was right next to a switch. And I was like, what does this switch do? And it switched the fireplace, but that was on the ring. So I only had to chase a little bit. So I'd done that with a drill. And then all these little things kept happening. And the where they wanted another socket, the ring was already there and stuff like that. Before I know it, what I thought might take me to 3 or 4 days ended up taking me 2 long days. I took back the chaser and the thing back to Screwfix, got my money back on that. And I ended up making good money on it. But
it's rough. It's uphill and down, isn't it? Sometimes, if you still get that chaser, still made a good bit of money, you got the asset, but you can go about it again. But sometimes you've just got to admit that not every job's a winner. If you lose money, there's no point getting upset about it. You just don't do it next
time. That's it. Because my brother was saying to me, like, just leave the job. Like, you'll never be happy if you do that job. And I'm glad I didn't listen. I went ahead with it, and I made the money I wanted to make on it.
Yeah.
However, it's only because I got real lucky with the placements.
Let me tell you a story about this. This story occurred maybe 20 years ago, yeah? I used to work at a place called Commander Hurst House with my mate Smiler, who got me the job there. And we're probably about 20, 21, something like that. And he's picked up this rewire. He's like, do you give me on this rewire? I'm like, yeah, all right then, mate. He's like, just a rewire. It's only a 2-bedroom flat. I'm like, yeah, sound. He goes, we'll do it on Saturday. We'll probably get it first fixed in a week. I was like, yeah, we probably will, actually. He's like, it's plasterboard walls and breeze block. I've been and took a socket off and I've checked. I was like, because round Nottingham is a lot of strand. Do you know what strand is? The straw stuff. Straw walls. Round Nottingham is a lot of walls made
of plaster.
No, compressed straw.
Oh, wow.
So it's a solid lump of compressed straw. It's on a lot of estates from the 80s. I was like, it's not fucking strand, is it? He's like, no, it's breeze and block. Sand, no problem. So we rocks up this flat and I think we took a set of steps and some hand tools and all that kind of stuff. This flat's empty. So no one's there. They've let us in and fucked off. And gets a little set of steps out. And I'm like, there's the fuse board. The fuse board's fed a bit of pyro. I was like, mate, this is fedding pyro. You better be careful how we do this. He's like, oh, yeah, that's a bit of a problem, but never mind. Went up to the ceiling to look at the ceiling rose. Hit the ceiling with a screwdriver. Doink. Fucking rock hard. I'm like, what the fuck? It's slab construction, isn't it? So it's concrete walls with breeze block in the middle with a concrete floor slab. So what he thought was a roof that we'd smash down and pull the cables through was a solid concrete slab with conduit in it. So there's absolutely no way to wire from wall to wall. So you'd have to go in safe zones and fucking all put a false ceiling up and all that. And I said, mate, this concrete and this floor's made out of concrete. And he went to me, looked at me, because I think he did know I had a bit more experience with my tools than him. And he's like, what shall we do? And there was silence for a few seconds. He says, what we're going to do is we get all these tools, we're going to put them back in the car, put the keys for the letterbox, we're going to fuck off. And that's what we did. Because I was like, if we get balls deep in this, we're going to lose a fucking fortune, the money you've got in for it. And we
you'll be there for weeks.
We just walked off. It weren't worth it. You know what I mean? I'm not proud of it, but I'd better
I do think there's a point where you can walk away from a job that you've underquoted. I do think that's a thing.
Everyone's going to have a job like that where they go, fuck this. But you can't fuck it once you start knocking someone's walls to bits. You've got to fuck it off at the beginning, haven't you?
Yes, you do. So for me, the other thing that I can't really believe is just how busy I am. Like, I am now booked up fully.
All right, Billy Big Balls, fucking hell, wind it in. Some of us sat here doing
nothing. No. And I'm not even flexing. I can't believe it. I'm booked solidly for a month. Just work every day. That is work from 8 till 3 and then work till 8 again.
Are you going to give away your secret recipe that you told me about the other day? Your specialist skill?
Go on.
You told me the other day, didn't you? What's your specialist skill of your company?
Don't really have one. Oh, what? Oh, yeah. So we specialise in turning up.
it sounds bonkers, but it's mental. Quite hard to find.
Do you know what? I've had more than one job where I've turned up. They can't believe I've actually turned up. They give me more money.
Oh, but just because you rocked
just
up another
because
job.
I turned up. How mad is that?
I suppose, though, you don't want to do rewires, but those rewire chasers are going to undercut your rewire, aren't they? They're going to whap it in, and that's what they do. They want to go in and out. And everyone's got some work they see is below them. So I don't want to do arse bashing, right? One, I'm not very good at it, and arse bashing the skilled people, yeah? And two, I fucking hate it.
See,
but
I love it.
If you're going to do it, you're going to get the money, aren't you? You're going to mop up that low-hanging fruit.
I love the low-hanging fruit. I like all the jobs that other electricians don't want. I'm not above doing rewires. I just don't think I have the skill set to do them. I don't have the skill set, the patience, the wherewithal to be able to do a full rewire in the house yet.
One-man rewires are not cost-effective. If you're not having to graft your nuts off and someone gives you a rewire and they're not in a rush and you take a month to do it, great. But most people want a rewire smashing out a bit quicker than that. And if you're like pulling a bit of cable, get stuck on a joist, you have to walk all the way over there and unscrew it, you're not making mad money, are you? They're a two-man job, aren't they? Or a lad and an apprentice.
Yeah, you need someone who's skillful at them, and they're going to make good money. If you're really good at rewires, and you've got that sort of that engine ready, and you know the logic of a rewire, you will make really good money. But you are going to be working your nuts off.
But their vans, and this is, I always say it's down to what your van's up to do. Their vans are not set up to go and do a little socket. So I was asked 50 quid, are they?
Well, yeah, of course they are. They'll have sockets. They'll have all
that
shit in there.
They don't want to. They don't see it's worth
it. No, there's like, because they're used to earning like, they'll pull off 2-3 grand off of a rewire. They'll do 3 of them a month. So they're not looking at that £50 work. Whereas it doesn't matter how big I get, I'm always going to be on them £50 jobs. I think they're the best jobs. I think they're the best jobs for learning, getting around problems. The first thing I'm going to do, if I get to that point where I can, is take on an apprentice, and the apprentice's job is to be doing all them £50 jobs, because that is where you learn your craft, is them dumb jobs.
When you drill
through a cable, when you put up a light fit and you drill through the cable that comes through, now you've got to get up there and fix that.
The problem I've got is...
It worked before.
The problem I have at the minute is I can't get work on Facebook. The kind of clientele I'm after don't linger on Facebook, unfortunately. So I'm having to...
No, I mean... The
so
way
I'm
talking
this podcast.
The way... Like, I don't think many people can do what my wife's done with the Facebook. She's literally been obsessed with it. So she joined every single type of group that is relevant to our town and all the towns around us, like 15 minutes each way, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she's in the running groups, the running duck hunting groups, you name it.
The duck hunting groups for electric.
Whatever.
Oh, just another one of duck hunting groups. Does anyone need an electrician? I'm just some pictures.
Honestly, and once a week on a Monday, she goes to every single one of these groups and just drops an advert. Then she will go on there every 40 minutes, all day long, every day, looking to see if someone needs an electrician. And if they do, she'll recommend my company. And she'll just do that.
That's worth it if you're in it as a family operated business. It's probably worth it you doing that.
Honestly, that Facebook and Nextdoor app is the entirety of how we've grown our business.
Do you know what I have to use to try and drum up a bit of business? And it's horrible. LinkedIn.
Yeah, that's your... Yeah, but LinkedIn isn't what it used to be, is it?
The problem I've got on LinkedIn is... Well, the problem I've got generally is I do this podcast. Oh, it doesn't help.
That's not just the biggest problem you have.
You
act on LinkedIn the same way as you do on Instagram. That's your problem.
Right, I'll tell you, you're right. I act on LinkedIn like I do on Instagram. And I act on Instagram like I do on this podcast. And I act like this on this podcast because this is what I'm really like, right? So there's two ways of playing LinkedIn. You've either got to be one of them false bastards who just goes, oh, I've just noticed that health and safety and all that. Or you just be yourself. And to be honest, I am having a fair old result just being myself because some people were like, oh, I'll get him around. He just seemed like a normal person. And I will graph. So obviously, I've got some other ways to do it. So LinkedIn might be bearing fruit in the next couple of days. We might be getting some work out of that. I'm going to start off doing this podcast.
Josh Phillips says, does she still ask you to go to the shops on the way home? She knows better than that, bro. She knows better than that.
No,
I was looking at moving to Broadstairs. Looks like Sam's got Thanet sewn up. Mate, the thing about Thanet and surrounding areas like Swale and Canterbury and stuff, the problem is, according to the NIC, it's the most densely populated area in the UK for electricians.
Water Sparky says, my LinkedIn's amazing. He's right. Also...
It's not getting you any work, though, is it?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you a little story. I think this person has listened to the podcast, yeah? I was working at a major site, like quite a large site that I won't name, yeah? And someone said, I know you. You're Jamie Blayton, aren't you? I was like, yeah, I am. He goes, I'll follow you on LinkedIn. I was like, oh, well, mate. Blah, 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 blah. I had a chit-chat to him. And I was being watched by the person I was working for. And they called me after because, why was you talking to him in the canteen? I was like, oh, he just follows me on LinkedIn. And he's like, oh, right. He goes, we thought you were spying on us. He's in charge of the entire site. It's like the proper big site, bigwig. Some like proper hardcore electrical engineer that follows me on LinkedIn. They're like, oh, I didn't expect to know him. I was like, yeah, I think he just follows me on LinkedIn because I'm basically on there being a twat. But it does work. But how else do you get noticed? Most people on there just doing dickhead things, going, oh, I've noticed these sockets of shit. Whereas I'm on there being myself and it hopefully might bear some fruit.
But who knows? I think you tone it down, you might get more.
Yeah, but I'm only going to get there and be a dickhead anyway, aren't I? Like, I'm not a dickhead when I'm doing work or health safety wise, but I just like being a bit of a dickhead. I enjoy
That's
it.
That's why you got sacked.
I didn't get sacked.
I don't know why you chat so much shit.
Every
There's
other
no
job.
Way someone will have you work for them and act the way you do. Not possible.
True story, right? For Conrad, I've been working for, right? The first Instagram video I put up of me working, which was reasonably sensible, is me saying, don't stand in front of the switch when you're operating it. They politely ran me up and says, we've seen this video on LinkedIn, Instagram, can you take it down? I was like, yeah, fair one. Obviously, don't want any recording off on the sites and stuff like that. So I took it down. It was like, well, that's that little thing out of the way. So what I decided to do then was I started to just not show the branding on my T-shirt, and I might record something especially for it in such a way that I didn't reveal the site and stuff like that. I had a proper discussion with the person that said it. It's like, oh, actually, I see what he's getting at there. And in the end, it was not officially sanctioned, but they didn't ever stop me. And I'm very grateful for that. They pretty much let me get on with it. I think they realised that I was just trying to educate people and show people stuff, which was nice. So yeah, big shout out to them for letting me do that. Yeah, I never got written permission, but they never stopped me, which was good.
Do you know what? I got told that I couldn't record videos in the hospitals, like in front of the CT scanners and the MRIs.
Because it's magnetic-y things?
Nah, because they said it's got intellectual property that they don't...
Oh, yeah, they've said, yeah, I think...
And I'm like, what, can't they just go... Like, I'm sure Canon, if they wanted to see one of your devices, could just go and buy one and reverse engineer it. I don't think they're going to go on my.
They do. I think they're very think funny about where they go. I used to install machines for a company called Haver Boker, a German packaging machine company, make really fast rotary packers for cement. They sold two machines to China. Do you know how many they sold after that? None. And I've seen the copies, and they are excellent, like proper. So I think with that, they are a bit careful how they send it out. But at work, I'd never show it. I'd never give away. I used to never make sure I always never give away the site's location. Never show security equipment. Never show IT equipment. And I was pretty much left alone with it. But yeah, you can see why some people get funny about it.
That was in the days of the Fat Sam
you did that, all that stuff channel. At the power station.
Hey?
Did you do all that stuff at the power station? They went bollocks about it.
Probably. Oh, no, it wasn't a power station. It was a... They made injectors for all kinds of different diesel engines. And I got sacked because of that. Yeah.
The reason a lot of people will let you film, and I'd love to know what some proper YouTubers think about this, yeah, is I'd sort of got into it at work because I'm trying to educate people and show things off here. I think people find it interesting. But everyone's always like, oh, we can't... you know when you see a photo by all the big companies, like I had some photos taken at a major power company, yeah? And these photos were all staged from something that we've been doing. And when they got to the press people, they went, oh, you've got the wrong gloves on, you can't publish them. Like, we're there pretending to do work with brand new eye visors on and brand new hats and brand new glasses. You could see it was all staged, it looked shit. Sometimes people need to go, there's nothing wrong with showing what really happens in the workplace, as long as it's not massively dangerous. There's a big thing like, oh, we can't have people out there. And that's because of Karen's, because every fucking thing you put on Facebook, Instagram or YouTube, there's always some cocking and the things going, oh, you've got the wrong boots on. And because of dickheads like that, it's really hard to put footage out there. So they should just all get in the fucking sea.
Yeah, I don't know, man. To be honest with you, I was thinking about bringing back Fat Sam channel and just doing it from... like house bashing, but to be honest with you, I can't be bothered.
Do you enjoy that though, don't you? Like, unlike this podcast, which you clearly hate.
No, I love this podcast. I love podcasting. I just don't think I got it twisted. I thought back in the day, I thought I liked doing content, and actually, I hate content. That's why I don't do any other content. Like even my Instagram's really crap. Like, this is all I like doing.
More than anything, I like Instagram because, one, you don't get many dickheads on there because you don't have to follow me, you know what I mean? You don't have to follow me. But I enjoy delivering quick, fast, technical, rough, how things work or how things get done videos, yeah? Then what I do is I screen record them and put them on YouTube, which is, for some reason, going quite well. I'd love to produce long-form content and proper educational videos, but one, I can't write scripts because I can't write, so it's a fucking waste of time. They just sound like shit. And two, I start dragging on about bollocks, so...
Do one with Savo.
Well, funny you should mention that. I think me and David Savory are going to Chevron Arnoux to do some content this month.
So cool, I bet that's boring.
Oh, we'll be bumming and everything. But yeah, it will be boring for you. But I like little technical videos. I don't like... If I want to watch an half an hour video or something that gets really into it, I love watching stuff like that, but I can't produce it. I just like doing fast, here's how stuff happens, in the vain hope that it'll help someone one day, or someone will go, oh, you know what? I'm an electrician and I want to move on and I really like to do that. That's all I produce it for.
I want to talk about your mum. I want to talk about testers quickly. So I have got my hands on a TIS MFT Pro, lovely bit of kit, and I don't really know how to test. I've been watching a lot of YouTube videos and stuff, but mate, do you know how good that tester is? You press a button, and it tells you what leads to put where, and basically how to do the test. Yeah. Then if it doesn't go right, you press the help button and it tells you what you've done wrong. It's fucking amazing. You literally learn how to test via the tester.
I would hate that. It'd get on my nerves. I'd think it was telling me how to do my job. But I see what you're saying there.
It's amazing. Honestly, it's amazing.
The thing about TIS testers is I dislike the form factor, if I'm honest. Just nothing wrong with them.
Yeah.
I don't like the form factor. Isn't it about time we had an annual test? Isn't our annual test review with David Savory due in April?
Don't know. The only new tester is out. There's the MX1. Sorry, is it the MX1 or the Mega X1?
The Mega X1, which we talked about last year. We didn't see. Also, Chevron have just released an MFT. Oh, well, it's not new. They've had it out in Europe, but they released it in the UK, so that'll be getting a run for its money, which will be interesting.
I don't know. Like, I've heard some sketchy things about the Mega X1. It's not ready.
You know when you release a product... And I'm going to be fair to to hear you. I don't want to start hammering them. I know a few people got a tester and they've had a few problems with it. And when you release a product, sometimes that's what happens. It's just how you deal with that is the important bit.
It doesn't mean it's going to be crap. It just means it's probably, if you don't have a tester and you go and buy it, you might fall out of luck. But it's not going to say they're not going to weasel out these problems.
I never buy a new Transit till it's been out 2 years for the same reason, yeah? And also,
you've seen the new Transit.
Sweet, but I was speaking to someone the other day. I don't know if I mentioned it because it might be negative. No, it was Dan, DMH, got Seaward test gear for testing solar, showing me how it all works, yeah? They've got a problem with the LCDs that have to go back for repair. And they are accepting them back. It's Seaward. They know they've got a problem and apparently they're accepting them back for repair. But obviously, it's annoying if you've got one, but they're repairing it. Didn't you say someone, weren't you on about...
You want to talk about
we are so segue tonight. It's like a radio show tonight. We're really calm.
Mate, Azuri Electrical. Liberato del Greco.
Never sends me any booze, does he? But anyway.
He bought the All Singing All Dancing Mitrell. You know, the top of the range one, basically the All Singing All Dancing one. And he had that for 2 years and had a software fault in it. Sent it back to him, and they wanted £390 to fix a software fault.
That is allegedly, and if they want to come back and let us know if they want to get a press release like that, yeah, that's the kind of thing we are going to talk about. I don't stand for that shit. I think most people who release a product know there's a problem with it. Software updates. But
if it's a software problem, why is it £390?
Well, it shouldn't be.
And that is still in, like, that's only 2 years old. If I'm spending, that's £3,000 worth of kit.
No decent test company. If things slip through the net, yeah, there will be problems with software because everything's software based, aren't it? Everything's got.
It's not the point that there was a software fault.
It's just a reputation.
It's to fix it. £390 to fix a software fault is a piss take.
I'll tell you what we'll do. We will go, because we keep doing this now, because we've learned about our journalists now. Is it Metro?
Mitrell.
Oh, Metro. Sounds like make kids' toys. What's the kids' toy that sounds like that?
Mattel.
Mattel, that's it. I will
they
email.
Make Barbie.
I will email Metro, not Mattel, this week. And I will ask him about that because we have to give him a right to reply. We haven't given him a right to reply, but we'll ask him about that because I think pretty fair. I think I've heard the Mega X1's got a problem it and it's been having updates and stuff. But if you rectify it and you're new to the game, what do you expect when you're buying stuff like that? But, charge on £300 for a software fix. I don't think software fixes should ever be chargeable, do you?
Well, this is the whole point. It's your fucking liberty.
Because obviously TIS is very software-based. Oh, it's advertised professional electrician. If you've got a software-based... I know the TIS is basically a touchscreen with a computer in, yeah? I know they've improved that meter since it was brought out and you could have software updates that made it better. I know the continuity improved. I remember that from Dave Savory here. So if that's the case and you bought it with a limitation and they released something that makes it better and you have to pay for that software update, no one's going to moan about that, like iPhone updates, Android updates if you're poor, and that kind of thing.
You pay the same sort of money for an iPhone and you don't have to pay for the updates.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. If it's an update that makes it better and it's a test gear thing, maybe there's a bit of money in it. But if it's a fault that makes it inoperable, you can't charge people for that, can you? That's a piss take.
That's what I'm saying.
We will reach out to them to comment and come back on that one.
That's why, like Mark says, like Mark says, 3-year warranty and calibration with TIS for around £1,000. It's impossible to beat that. I think that Mark is right. For me, the functionality. Well, we'll cover this on our annual tester show, but I can't fault the TIS at the moment. And I'm only just getting into testing.
One thing I've got to do is, and you could do it as well, viewers, I need to rewatch that episode because we will start planning for that shortly. We've got an inside tester man now. Shovin Arnoux won't be sponsoring that episode. It'll be an independent episode like we do when we slag off you and that stuff, yeah. We'll drop sponsorship for that one because it is a genuine thing. And while we're at it, all you regular viewers that have been listening or watching this or in the chat, yeah, bang us a message across on Instagram or whatever because, like, if you don't tell us, we can't report anything. So if you have got a problem or you've had a good test or you think something's great, positive or negative, do bang me a message on Instagram to say, oh, testers, da-da-da-da-da, and let me know because it all helps us build the show up for that one.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see, like, what people's thoughts are on different testers. What we'll do is we'll do a couple of polls where they go head-to-head, see who the people's tester is, and then we can give an opinion on our favourite tester. I've only really used a couple of different testers. I'm using Mega 1741, is it? I've used the little Q-Tech one.
Which That's won got... last year? That was the winner. The Q-Tech one was our best.
And then the TIS is the one I'm using now. And I'm just getting into like practicing with it and stuff. And I've got to be honest with you. It's hard to, for a beginner, it's hard to think what could be better than that TIS at the moment.
What we've got to say as well is it's very, when you start off and you have to buy a tester, it's probably one of the most expensive purchases
yes.
you will have made at that point. It's like you're buying your kitchen house. So if you've got any feedback on that, let us know. Also, while I'm at it, we're talking about people feeding back. Yeah. We've got a Facebook group, but it's shit. Is anyone out there? Yeah, we have got a Facebook group, but it's turd. So if you want to join it and use it, brilliant. It's a great way to interact with us, the show, and each
How
other.
How do you know we've got that?
Because you added me to it. But what I want to say is, if anyone's out there, regular viewers, that want to help us moderate it, because we're busy people, we can all chip in. One, go and use it and have a chit-chat in there. And two, we're after a couple of people to moderate it, because it keeps getting filled with shoe adverts. So let us know. We can sort that out. We want to try and... It's a nice place to drop files, PDFs and stuff, not illegal ones. And it's a nice place just to have a question-answering session about that.
There's someone advertising premium women's ortho stretch cushion shoes.
The amount of those I've had to delete in the past 2 weeks. But yeah, I thought, community-wise, one, as I've done on, I just done a little video on Instagram about my podcast up in here, there's going to be improvements to the pod coming. That Verso pod shot's been on there all night. I pressed the wrong button. I better put the Chevron one up so they're up there. The pod's going to improve. There's going to be more. We're going to be able to do phone calls soon, which is going to be pretty exciting. But we are after someone to look after or help us look after that Facebook group and utilise it a bit. That'd be nice. So we can have a chit-chat in there when we're all offline, as well as on the evenings. So yeah, it gives a dig out.
I feel like we're out now. Would you reckon we've got more to talk?
No, I think we've covered for this, but a bit laid back. This was meant to be the laid back one at the end of business month. It hasn't been because on Sunday, we've got John from Faultless. He used to work.
That's going to be a good one. And we're going to be talking about going out on our own again.
John's going to be talking about going out on his own. He's recently going out in December. He used to work some little house bashing out, I think, in Cambridge, and he's had to go on his own. So yeah, he's going to be on talking about that. Looking forward to that one. Didn't quite flow how I wanted it to, but what you could do is watch on Sunday and listen to this one after again. Then you'll get the proper flow of how I wanted it to be.
Okay.
By Sunday, I won't have a bin liner behind my set to stop the reflection.
I know, what a tramp. Why don't you get some wood and a nice sign?
Because it's a white wall, and I just needed something to cover it up now. Also, we know you're not in a shed. We know you're in a proper studio. We know you're actually in a proper studio if you zoom out.
Why not?
Zoom out then. I mean,
look at my lights.
Put a roof on it. But yeah, we're back on Sunday. 101 live on a Friday night.
Right. Listen, Electricians Podcast, we are out.
Bye-bye. End it then, so I can swear.